And on the preachers, I know it's going to take y'all a few minutes to gear down. John has a lot of fun doing that, but everybody sitting there has got a call of God. You're gearing up, gearing down, gearing up, gearing back down, gearing up, gearing back down. And so I feel your pain. That hurts. But it's been a good meeting, and I appreciate what the Lord's done. Use Brother Morgan moderating the meeting. I appreciate the church and everything that they've done, and what a blessing that's been. I know you're tired. A good breeze come through here. Y'all noticed that a while ago. Good physical breeze and a spiritual breeze as well. Kind of cooled us off. So it's actually, it's warm, but you're not suffering. And so I thank God for that. Look in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. I look around and I see some blankets that people are sitting on. I see memorabilia that has sports stuff on it. And so those that have that, if you don't amen me, then you don't support the team that you have. You're sitting with the blankets. And you'll see in a minute what I'm talking about. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. I want to be a little bit more lighthearted. That's kind of what my desire is right now. We've heard a lot of good preaching. And we've heard preaching on everything that moves. And I just want to encourage you a little bit before we finish out the afternoon services for this year. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. In verse number 24, know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize. So run that ye may obtain. Every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly. So fight I, not as one that beateth the air. But I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. My Jesus, help us to help you people today. We ask you, God, get us ready for the judgment seat. We pray it in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. You can be seated. Thank you so much for standing. The Apostle Paul does something that a lot of preachers really don't make mention of often. And I've been asked this question. I've been preaching now almost three decades. And in the years of being on the road in evangelism and still preaching meetings, handful here and there, I've had this question asked to me over the years about my feelings on sports. We know that sports has become the god of our nation. I know the NFL thinks that the sun rises and falls upon them, and that's why they're taking knees. As far as I'm concerned, the NFL can fall off the end of the planet, and it wouldn't bother me one bit anyway. You will take note that the baseball is not taking a knee. Those of you that's old enough to remember the strike that they went on, I believe, back in the 90s, and they paid a severe price. They found out that the fans did not appreciate their attitude, and they got punished for it. And so you notice that they're not really in this one. They're going to let the NFL take the fall on taking the knee, in which they rightfully should. I don't support any team that wouldn't stand for the national anthem. I don't care how good they are. And but I've been asked this: how do I feel about sports? How do I feel about going to a sporting event, maybe a professional or college event? And I know that there's some different ideas about this, and I know probably I'm going to get shot at for preaching this message, but I don't care. I've been in this thing long enough that I just really don't care. But Paul used sports analogies a lot in the New Testament. Here he uses several analogies. He talks about track and field, talking about running. He mentions boxing in verse 26. He said, so fight I not as one that beateth the air. There are times that he mentions other sports and other things, and he actually mentions sports analogies and illustrations in Galatians chapter 2 and verse 2. He does it again in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 7. He does it again in Philippians 2 and verse 16, and also chapter 3 and verse 14. In 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 5, again he uses a sports analogy. In Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1, he does it again. And then he even uses a sports picture on the final letter that he gives when he's talking to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 7. He said, I've run the race. I've run the race. And so he uses sports analogies. Now, he didn't have ESPN. He didn't have all those other things. But he had to have gone. There had to have been a time that he had gone. and seen some sports events. Got caught up in it enough that he actually used it as illustrations in the Bible. The Isthmian Games were the games that was played around Corinth. And there are some people that believe that probably that's what he had seen. He had gone to those games and watched the races and the marathons and the track and field and the boxing. And in that day, they didn't have padded gloves. It was more like MMA. They pummeled each other, beat each other half to death. Hallelujah. Love it. So he mentions sports analogies. Last month, my family got together for my wedding anniversary. My wife and I celebrated 30 years of marriage. And so my boys took my wife and I to go see the Braves. We went to go watch, and I've seen a number of times them playing. I saw them play years ago at Turner's Field, and I did a number of times. And for my oldest son's 10th birthday, he's 28, 29 now. For his 10th birthday, we drove all the way from Statesville, North Carolina, down to Atlanta to watch them play the Phillies. That night, it broke out in two bench-clearing brawls. I was standing up on my seat, hollering, cheering, punch them, hit them. They threw Bobby Cox out. They threw John Smoltz out. They threw Eddie Perez out. And they about threw me out. I had a good time watching it. Two bench-clearing brawls. It was beautiful. I don't know if the Braves won or not. Don't matter. It's just wonderful watching them. And about broke out in the stands. That we just had a great time. A preacher called me when I got back home. We drove back that night. And the next day, a preacher called me. He said, everywhere you go, it breaks out in the fight. I said, I didn't start it, I promise you. But I sure cheered it on. But last month, my boys took my wife and I to go see the Braves play at SunTrust. I'd never seen the new stadium. We got there, the game started at 7:30. While we was there, we have a 3.5-hour drive back south to get back home to Lakeland, a 4-hour drive. And right about the time the game started, it started to rain. And so they went to a rain delay. And so we sat there for 45 minutes waiting on the game to start. Time is going by. And the longer they take, the later I'm going to get back home and we're tired. And so they finally get the game started up. They're playing the Tampa Bay Rays. The Tampa Bay Rays come out and begin to beat the hammer out of them. The Braves didn't act like they'd never played a game in their life. Our pitcher couldn't get nobody struck out. He got up to 70 pitches within the first 3 innings. He just couldn't find the plate. We start losing. Then we hit another rain delay. Lasted till 10:30. The debate that we had amongst my children, my 3 boys, we have a daughter, but she's in North Carolina. But my 3 sons was there. Well, 2 of my sons were there. My wife, we kept saying, do y'all want to go home? Do you want to leave? Because the reason was the storms had come in and set in and started raining out the game. We was getting tired. The field was getting in bad shape. And all around us, thousands of people in droves were leaving the field. They were leaving the Coliseum and they were going back home. Right around 9 o'clock, they hit another delay, and that lasted to 10:30, 10:45. And I knew that if we stayed on for the game, we had a 3.5-hour drive home. We was give out. The Braves were losing. And we sat there and debated, do we go home or do we stay? So we decided to stay. And we cheered and cheered for our team. Go Braves, go Braves. Somebody hit the ball. Somebody steal base. Somebody hit the batter. Do something. Somebody score. And hoping that they'd win. And do you ever want, I tell you, drive you crazy with their relief pitching. Say, preacher, why in the world are you preaching on this? Sounds a lot like church. Sounds an awful lot like church. When I got there with thousands of other fans at the same time, we got our tickets, we bought our memorabilia, our baseball caps, we walked out and started cheering on our favorite players. Freddie, knock a home run. Freeman, bust a home run. And we're hollering and cheering for our team, hoping and praying they beat the Rays. And we're all excited, but we started watching thousands of fans say, I don't want to stay no more. I'm going to the house. The storms have come. Everybody else is leaving. Our team is losing. The grounds are in bad shape. The forecast is saying more storms are coming. If we stay, we're going to be later and later at night. We're too tired and too give out. But we sat there and said, let's stick it out. I'm going to give you 10 reasons why we didn't leave the game. And these are the same 10 reasons I'm not going to quit on the church. While I'm watching people walk out of the church and say, I'm not interested. I remember the first time they came, they was all excited, all thrilled to death, enjoy the singing, enjoy the preaching. But storms came. Problems came. We started losing a few innings and things started turning out bad. The forecast is showing more storms are on the way. Other people's leaving. Other people's piling out. And we're sitting there saying, do we leave? Do we need to go? Is it worth it to stay? I'm going to tell you today, it is worth it to stay with the church. It's worth it to stay with the church. I'm going to preach a simple thought today, as carnal as you can get. So I'm going to admit it before I even started. I'm preaching tonight on Go Braves. I'm telling you, there's 10 reasons I said I'm not leaving. Aaron's sitting here tonight. He was sitting there, and he's one said, I don't want to go home yet. Let's stay for the whole game. 10 reasons. Number one, quickly, then we're going to go eat. 10 reasons why I stuck with it. Number one, because of my feelings. I wanted my team to know that I supported them. Even when they looked up in the stands and they watched thousands of people walking out and leaving, saying we're going home, they came excited, but they left discouraged, and they're going to the house. All fumbled there on the left side, on the other side of first base, right on the second level. They saw four or five nuts sitting there in the rain, hollering, can't stay with it, boys. Keep on pitching. We can win this game. I wanted to support my team. See, because my team had not quit. My team was still on the ball diamond. And the opposing team had not quit. Now, I wanted my team to know that I'll stay with you when the sun's shining and I'll stay when your rain's falling. I'm not going nowhere and I'm not leaving. Anybody can quit when the storm comes. Anybody can walk out when everybody else is walking out. But I say this, go Braves. Stay with it, boys. I'm not leaving you. I'm going to support my team. I think I'll go back Sunday morning, Lakeland Baptist Church. When Paul Carter gets up and teaches the Sunday school lesson, I'm going to sit on the edge of my seat and say, teach it, Brother Paul. When the singers get up and sing the songs of Zion, I'm going to raise my hand to heaven. Even if other people quit and leave, I'm going to say, stay with the boys. Sing for the glory of God. God's still worthy. I'm not going nowhere. Number one, because of my feelings. Number two, said, preachers, there's scriptural principle. Yes, but I ain't got time to give them to you. Hebrews 10:25, not forsaking assembling yourselves together as men or some is. You know the verse. I've thrown a verse in to cover the point so you can't say I'm carnal. Number one, because of my feelings. Number two, because of the finances. Now, I looked at Aaron. I said, Aaron, you want to go home? He said, no. You know why he didn't want to go home? Because he paid for the tickets. He paid the tickets for me and Mama to be there for our anniversary. What you talking about, a good redneck anniversary? Getting to go to see the Braves play ball. What a good son. And he is my favorite of the four. Hallelujah. You know why we didn't leave? Because the price had been paid. We had paid the gas. We had paid the meals. We had paid for the parking. The tickets had been paid for. And so we don't want to waste our investment. Yeah, hey, listen, I've never seen anybody that was a faithful tither, a faithful giver, and faith promise and other things. Somebody who invested their time, invested their effort, they're not quick to leave. People that are quick to leave are people that are not invested, and it costs them to be there to start with. Number two, I didn't leave because of our finances. Number three, quickly, because of my family. We were riding in one vehicle, and I was driving. I knew that if I left and said, I'm not staying, I'm tired of the rain, I'm tired of my team losing, the ball diamond's muddy, the other team's arrogant. They're going to keep whooping on us and don't look like it's going to change. Everybody else is leaving. I'm going home. But I knew if I went home, all my family's going with me. They're going to pull out of the game just like I'm pulling out of the game. I'm going to tell you before you, now listen, before you decide to leave that church and before you decide to quit on God and before you decide the storms and the forecast is too bad, look at your family. Look at your grandbabies. Look at those you love and care about because you ain't leaving alone. No man liveth to himself and no man dieth to himself. You are not an island all to yourself. You're going to affect somebody else. I stayed for my family. Number four, quickly, because of some foresight. Foresight. My wife, before we left Lakeland and took the 3.5 trip, the 3.5 hour trip, my wife went to Fred's and she bought 5 $1 ponchos. It was sunny. There was no, listen, the weather on my app didn't even say that it's calling for rain in Atlanta. It was sunny and hot. Weren't even calling for rain. But my wife went and bought five ponchos for $1. We laughed at her, said, we got to carry that thing in. She said, yeah, you do. And we said, the sun's out. Even the weather app is saying zero chance of rain. But buddy, when the rain started to fall and people started to leave, we started pulling out ponchos, covering ourselves up. I know it's embarrassing. Looked like a lollipop still in the wrapper. All of us sitting there and everybody else is gone. If you looked on TV, you'd see about four or five nuts sitting there right in the middle of that stadium, sitting there in the middle of the rain. Felt like a bunch of dewdrops sitting there in that poncho. The reason why we stayed is nobody else came prepared, but we did. We got prepared when the sun was out. We got prepared before the first raindrop fell. Can I tell you what this camp meeting's about? Right now, things are going good. The worst we got is to get a little sleepy, a little bit tired. But you know when the final amen is given, and you know when the final song is sung, and the final invitation is given, you're going home to your problems. You're going home back to your jobs. You're going back home to financial situations. But you've come here in good weather and got some help and got prepared for the battles and the storms that come our way. We didn't leave because we came prepared just in case the storms did come. Another reason why is because of our foresight. Number five, quickly, we decided to stay because of our faith. He said, preacher, what do you mean by faith? What's that got to do with this? I expected the game to finish. If I thought they was not going to finish, I'd go home. But I believe that they was going to finish that game in spite of the weather. Because every now and again, about every 15 minutes or so, the announcer would come on. Ladies and gentlemen, we are watching the weather. It looks like we're going to get a break soon, and we will try to get this game started as quickly as we possibly can. Every time we thought about leaving, every time we thought about following the crowd out the door, there's a voice from somebody else we could not see that kept saying, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to finish this game. If you'll stay with it, we'll finish the game. If you'll not leave, you'll get to enjoy the game. Every now and again when I feel like quitting and I feel like I don't want to go any farther and I wonder if it's worth it, there's a voice from another world echoes in my heart, said, you stay with it. The storms are here, but they're going to pass, and you're going to finish this game. Number six, because of my fear, we didn't leave. What do you mean by that? I didn't want to leave and miss something. Something inside of me said, if you leave, the greatest comeback that there's ever been is going to take place, and you missed it. I'm going to tell you something this afternoon. Some of y'all may not understand this, but I believe we as men of God are on a short leash. I think we as preachers, if we're not careful, we can damage our ministry. We can do things that hurt us. But God seems to be so much more merciful on churches. I've seen churches get down the rock bottom, be nothing. I've seen them get erupted in scandals, get messed up, and you say, that's it, it's over. And people leave, and there being one or two little old people stay with that church. And the scandal's taking place, and the air is starting to clear out, and those two or three little older people stay in that church and prayed and prayed. And then God sent them a man of God, and all of a sudden that thing starts raising back up again. Lives start being changed again, and that church starts booming and banging again. I'm telling you, churches can go a long ways, and God be merciful. We may be quick to pronounce Ichabod, but God's not. I want to stay with it because that church may make a comeback. I want to stay with it because something big may happen. If I leave, I'm going to miss it. So because of my fear, I don't want to miss anything. I feel like something big's going to happen. Number seven, I'm going to 10 because of a fever. So what do you mean? I've never gone to a Braves baseball game that I didn't carry a glove. I don't care if I'm sitting in the concession stand. I'm taking a ball glove. I'm going to catch me a foul ball one day. I've been many times, but I've never caught a foul ball. I'm not going to be one of those that you're going to see catch a ball and there'll be some little kid sitting there and hand it to him. No, I will push him out of the way. I will catch the foul ball in Jesus' name and take it home and brag on knocking the kid down, because bless his cotton-picking heart, he didn't pay the money for the ticket. I'm going to catch it. He's got a lifetime to catch it. I got 50 years behind me. I want the ball. I'm going to get something. There's a hope. I mean, the last time we watched him play, we was on the first base line on the second level. I mean, in the second section on the lower level. We was in perfect territory. Every single time a batter got up, here's the glove. We're sitting there, hit over here, boys. Glove raised. Aaron's got a glove. Levi's got a glove. My wife's got a glove. My daughter-in-law's got, we're sitting there with all of us got gloves. We're ready. See, with everybody else leaving, it increases the chance I'm going to get a foul ball. I believe God's going to bless me at church. I believe God's going to do something for me if I stay with the church. I believe the singer's going to sing a song and it's going to melt my heart and God's going to bless me. The preacher's going to say something to encourage me. I believe the piano player, when they hit the first key, it's going to have such a melody to ring in my heart. I'm going to stay with it because I believe God is going to bless me if I stay with it. And the more people walk out, the increase the chances I'm going to get that blessing that they missed. Because of my fear, because of a fever, because of my focus, the fact is the last time we went, we had really good seats. We weren't in the nosebleed seats, you know, the $5 seats that nobody sits in, way up in the top. We was down there in the lower tier. We was down there and over near the dugout. We had really good seats. I was in a good place. I could see everything going on. While others are leaving and they're piling out, all of a sudden seats started opening up. Praise God. We paid for this seat, but we moved on down, got a $100 seat. Because the one in the $100 seat left. Increased my chance again. Get a foul ball. When people are leaving, it's not time for you to go. That's an opportunity for a promotion. When other people's quitting on God, say, preacher, Sunday school teacher, quit on God. Good. Volunteer to teach their class. Preacher and usher quit on God. He got upset, Matt, the preacher, because he said something. Good. Go to the preacher and say, hey, I like take up offering. This is your chance to move forward in the game instead of away from the game. Because of a fever, because of my focus. Move up when other people leave. Number 9, I'm almost done. Because of other fans. The diehard fans stayed. The fly-by-nights who are there just to drink and get with their buddies and eat in the restaurant, they're going to leave just like that. But the crowd who really likes the Braves, they said, y'all can leave if you want to. We're staying. Well, the other night was there watching them for anniversary. And we moved up to the next section in front of us. There was a guy there, probably right around 6 foot tall. And if he didn't talk, you wouldn't realize it, but he had autism. And the whole time he never sat down. He had a little bitty glove on his hand. Big boy had a glove on his right hand going, Freddie, hit me a ball. Freddie, hit me a ball. And every time, and even another team out there in outfield tossing back and forth, he'd go there and say, throw me a ball, ball, throw me a ball, ball, over and over and over again. Ball, somebody throw me a ball. And everybody's attention on the field got on that guy. And finally somebody hit a foul ball his way. And by the time that ball started coming in the air, everybody started looking. And I don't care if that boy had autism or not. If I got it, it's mine. That thing come down in front of me and another guy caught it. The other guy caught the ball. He was so excited. And everybody started pointing at the guy with autism. Hey, give him the ball. Give him the ball. And so the guy looked at the guy and you knew immediately he couldn't keep it. And I wouldn't have kept it. I would have gave it to him. He walked over and gave that young man that ball. And that boy was thrilled to death. I got a ball, got a ball. Looked at, I got the ball, I got the ball. Every time a ball going up or stands a mile from him, he said, I got it. And no way he's going to get it. But he always thought he's going to get it. But he got that one ball. Amen. You know what that did for me? Somehow I was excited about watching him getting blessed. I was excited about him getting something. He's cheering, hollering, pitching the fit. The more he hollered and cheered, the more I hollered and cheered. It bled off on me. I think what you'll do is go back to church Sunday morning. You're discouraged and tired. Go back, get on the pew, start amen and the preacher. Start shouting the singer's song and get everybody else excited about it. Because the fact of the matter is, it's the same team. And it's the same number of innings. And it's the same number of strikeouts. It's the same. Everything's the same. You got to get your mind on what you're there for, not on everybody else that's leaving and not on the storms that are set in. Number nine, because of other fans. I got to watch that autistic boy catch a ball, man. It thrilled me to death watching it. Seeing somebody else get blessed, somebody else get something, encourage me. Number 10, and I'm done. And this is a very rare word to use in a message, but just because it was fun. I had a ball. Not literally, I wanted one, but I had a great time. It was 1 o'clock in the morning when they finished. We had a 3.5 hour drive home. How I made it, I don't know. We had a ball. I mean, we had a good time. So, preacher, why do you keep going back to church? It's fun. That's what I was cut out for. That's what my life's about. But others are sitting there giving reasons, excuses while they're going on down the road. In my heart of hearts, I keep going back because that's what's inside of me. I love it. I love it to be part of it. I love the church. We was getting to leave that night. We was loading everything up there. I mean, it was down to a handful of people. It was late. We're piling out. And as I'm walking out, I see somebody's license on the ground. I obviously don't know them. I see it, pick it up and look at it. And somebody from outside the Atlanta area, they had dropped their license. And so I got back home. I took the address, wrote them a letter. I said, I'm Pastor Qualls. You dropped your license at the Braves game on such and such night. Stuck a track in there and sent the license back to them. A few days later, get a letter back from that individual. Writes me back and says, sir, I appreciate what you did. I'm 30 years. I've never lost my license. He said, but the other night we left the game early because of the storms and the rain. He left early. He didn't want to stay with it. He said, I appreciate you being honest with me and sending this back to me, and I appreciate the track. Sometimes if you stay with it, you get to help somebody else who quit and went back out and said, I'm not interested in it. You get to be a blessing to somebody else who turned their back on it. I preach on the subject, go Braves. Can you get any more carnal of a message than that? Hallelujah. But I'm going to stay with the church. You understand what I'm saying. Paul used sports analogies in the Bible. I'm using sports analogy in this message here. The Lord Jesus Christ preached in parables. There were things he used as illustrations. He says, don't crucify me. I'd used a simple principle. I'm going to stay with the church. When everybody empties out and the stands empty out, I think I'll stay. Put on my poncho through the storm and keep on cheering and encouraging my team.
Amen. I don't know about y'all, but I have no problem with what was preached in here this afternoon by that.